Hello, this is Matt, WB2SRI. Welcome to round two, part two of my 2022 shortwave receiver comparison shootout. This is, again, part two. If you haven't listened to part one yet, you probably want to start there. You may remember earlier this year, I dragged eight of my favorite receivers up to the roof, hooked them up to a portable antenna, and compared their abilities to demodulate the same signals. This time, we're doing 15 different radios, and we're trying to compare them in ways that will highlight the differences perhaps a little better than we were able to before. We're using the same setup with everything from top-of-the-line Dream receivers from the 1980s to the present day, as well as some consumer portables and some fancy RF test gear. And I'll talk more about the lineup as we listen to each receiver. And again, in part one, I described them in a bit more detail. If you've never listened to one of these before, let me remind you, please make sure you're listening in stereo and, if at all possible, using headphones. And this is important because I'll be using the left and right channels to play received audio from two different radios, one by one, simultaneously. And this way, you can switch back and forth between two radios just by switching earpieces, and you can rewind and go forward to listen again and again. Once again, I'm up on the roof, taking advantage of the nice spring weather. We could just as easily do this indoors, but it's more fun to do it up on the roof. This time around, it's nighttime. So I've got the 15 radios up here with me, along with my portable Wellbrook FLX 1530 loop antenna and an RF distribution amplifier feeding each of the 15 radios to the antenna at the same time. So all 15 radios are getting exactly the same signal at the same time. And that lets us compare them pretty fairly one by one on actual off-the-air signals. Each radio's audio is being taken from its line-out jack, if it has one, or its headphone jack otherwise, and fed via an isolation transformer into my audio recorder, which is recording 16 tracks simultaneously, one for each of the 15 radios, plus another one for my narration that you're listening to right now. To the extent that it's practical, the radios are battery powered, but in a few cases we've had to resort to AC power for some of the radios. Again, all this is being done in real time, no post editing. So as I'm speaking, I have no idea what the band conditions are going to be, whether they'll hold up, and whether or not we're going to be able to get any signal at all once we actually start listening. It was there when I tuned in, but who knows what the RF gods will have to say. The signal we're listening to right now is Radio Voz Missionaria in Brazil on 9667 kilohertz. I think it's supposed to be on 9665 kilohertz, but their carrier is up about 2 kilohertz from a standard channel. And they broadcast at about 10 kilowatts from Brazil. So we're in Washington, D.C., very definitely not in their coverage area. It's a local station. So this is a potentially interesting signal that should highlight the differences between the radios a little bit better than a stronger signal might. All right, so why don't we get started? Our reference receiver, which on this track we'll be comparing each radio to one by one, is the ICOM R8600 receiver, a current production DC to daylight general coverage radio reputed to have very good performance on shortwave. And we're listening to this right now. Let me put it on both the left and right channels and let you give it a listen for about a minute. So you can see this is audible, but not exactly a super strong signal. So this will be a good test of the different radios. All right, let me move this over to the left channel, which is where we're going to leave it, and we compare each radio on the right channel to it. So our first radio is the AOR AR1, another a DC and VHF UHF receiver, almost unknown in the United States. It's kind of hard to get. It's expensive. And it doesn't particularly have a reputation one way or the other for its shortwave performance. Let's see how it does. All right, and again, if you want to listen to that more carefully, in more detail, the solo tracks for each radio are available. Our next receiver, the Reuter RDR Pocket receiver. So let's give that a listen. Okay, you might have noticed, by the way, with the Reuter, there's a very slight delay compared to the ICOM. So the audio takes a little longer to get through its DSP signal path. This radio is in the sync mode at the moment, and it leaves maybe somewhere around 100 to maybe 200 millisecond delay. The RDR Portable is an interesting radio. It's very hard to get in the U.S. It's made in Germany. They don't ship them here, but it packs a lot of performance and features into a really small package. It's one of my favorite portable radios. All right, next up, the AOR 7030. So I'll let you listen to those, and I'll get out of the way. Okay, leave it to you whether that outperformed the 8600 or not. Next up, the beloved Drake R8B. All right, now let's go to the analog world, the Drake R7A, a very high performance all analog radio from the early 1980s. Sorry, the R7A. All right, now let's move on to the consumer-oriented radios. We'll start out with the Sony ICF6800W, a desktop but battery-powered shortwave receiver from the early 1980s. That may have been the first example that's really not competitive with some of the higher end and modern radios. It's a great receiver, but maybe on this signal, it's just not quite able to pull it in. Let's look at its competitor, the Panasonic RF4900, same era desktop battery powered receiver, all analog and aimed at the consumer market. All right, I think that did better on the Sony on this signal, better than the Sony. You'll notice it seemed to pick up atmospheric noise a little bit more acutely than the other receivers did. But I'm listening at the same time you are, so you be the judge. Next up, the Texon 501, a modern receiver, slightly large form factor portable with two speakers, just released in the last year. So let's give that a listen, and I'll get out of the way. Okay, next up, let's listen to the smaller version of pretty much the same radio from Texon, the Texon 990X, again released in the last year and a half or so. Smaller form factor, but very similar to the 501. All right, the bands are holding up, but it's still a marginal signal. Let's give a listen now to the Sanjin version. First, the Sanjin 909X, similar to the Texon. This is the older version of the radio. We'll listen to the X2 in a moment. We'll see how it sounds. Thank you. Okay, now let's hear the improved version, the Sanjin 909 X2. Okay, now let's move on to an older radio, the Sony ICF-7600, maybe the first of the modern digital portables. Let's hear how that's holding up from about 2001. Okay, and now our smallest radio, the Belka DX. Let's give that a listen. Okay, and then finally, our perhaps ringer, the Narda Signal Shark 3310 Signal Analyzer. Definitely the most expensive piece of equipment in the lineup. All right, and that's it, 15 radios. The bands held up reasonably well, although there was some variation in band conditions throughout the 20 minutes or so we were listening. So if you really want to get a fair comparison for any receivers, I urge you to listen to the solo track for the radio that you're interested in. You might notice a couple notes here. You might have noticed with the Narda a slight delay, much more pronounced than with the Reuter RDR. That's because this is another DSP SDR radio. It's got a much more complex signal path, and I think it takes a couple hundred milliseconds, maybe a third of a second, to compared with a more analog receiver like the other ones that we've been listening to. So that really jumps out at you in stereo on that receiver. All of the receivers were able to get something, although I think, and again, you can judge as well as I can, with the exception of the Sony 6800 and the Panasonic, they all did pretty well. It's not clear that you would be able to tell which was which in a blind comparison, if you didn't know. So a couple quick notes. We've got a little bit more time here on production. I am using a Sound Devices Scorpio receiver, which is a 32-channel mixer recorder used mostly for film production, and a CL16 mixing board to be able to do the mix as I'm doing the live narration. This has the advantage that it records a stereo track based on the mix, as well as solo tracks for each radio, and you can listen to all of those separately as you wish. The microphone up here on the roof is probably the most unusual piece of equipment. It's a Kohl's lip microphone. You can see a picture of it. It was designed in the 1950s for the BBC for broadcasts from noisy locations like football games or, you know, riots or what have you. And it's really the perfect thing to use outdoors. You probably didn't hear a lot of, and are hearing now, a lot of background noise, but the traffic, birds, and all sorts of things have been around me. And this mic does a good job of picking up my voice and not that other stuff. The RF distribution amplifier is from a company in Louisiana. You can look on the website and see where that came from. It's got pretty good performance across the shortwave band. Let's see, what else should I tell you about? Oh, and the Wellbrook antenna is my signal sweeper, portable Wellbrook, using a coaxial cable as the loop, LMR 400 cable, about in a 1 meter diameter loop. So that's what we've been using, and we're in an urban environment, so plenty of noise sources and electrical noise and interference and so on. All right, thanks for listening, and hopefully there'll be a part three, and hopefully you'll stick around for it. In the meantime, 73.